beloveds, and welcome to the Whole Life Podcast, also now called the Heart Journey Podcast. We are in a several-part series, codependence, from codependence to Christ dependence. Are you wondering if you're codependent? Do you have pain in your relationships? Do you keep falling into the same cycles in your relationships? Do you feel guilty a lot? Are you trying to fix your relationships often? Do you lose your sense of self in your relationships? Do you sometimes lose your mind with anger in your relationships? Do you keep backing off more and more and more in your relationships, hoping that it will cause the dynamics to change? Underneath all of this is selfish ambition, is us trying to get our needs met from people, and it is the opposite of God dependence. This is episode two of a several-part series, From Codependence to Christ Dependence. Today's topic is the cross and the cure, how Jesus heals the fear that drives codependency. Oh, beloved, precious one, when Adam and Eve fell in the garden and Adam codependently moved towards Eve rather than staying in obedience and staying in the mind of the Spirit, he gave into fear. He looked to her as his source, his identity, the one that he needed to follow wherever she went. And he stepped out of his relation, his dependence on the vine. And it was the beginning of blaming, shame, hiding, feeling like a martyr, fixing, fawning, all the things that we struggle with in our relationships. So in the last episode, we traced codependency back to the garden, that first moment when humanity stepped out of dependence on God and into fear-based control. Today, I'm going to share part of my story. We're going to share about the power of the cross and resurrection to break codependency. And we're going to have an encounter with Jesus today, where I'm going to teach you how to allow Jesus to heal your wounds. I am Dr. Barbara Jean Lowe Sauve, and welcome back to the Heart Journey Podcast, where psychology meets the supernatural love of Jesus. Now, when Jesus cried, "It is finished," he didn't just end sin, but he ended striving. He ended dysfunction. He took up our pain, and the punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds, we are healed. We talked last week about how we can sit in the place of peace, and from that comes power. If you've lost your peace, there's one thing you need to do above all others: get your peace back. Because when you are sitting in your place of peace, you're sitting in power. The power of God emanates from the peace of God. That's why Jesus said, when you go to a house, let your peace rest there if someone is worthy of it. And if not, shake off the dust, take up your peace, and take it with you. And this is when he sent them out to evangelize. So the power of God was resting upon them as they stayed in that peace of God. The cross is God's declaration that you don't have to chase love anymore. Love came chasing you. For those of you that are just wishing someone would love you, wishing someone would pursue you, Jesus pursues you. He pursued you all the way to a bloody death on the cross. The cross ended striving. The resurrection began your soul rest. The Lord is still coming to us, just like he came to Adam, saying, "Who told you that? Who told you you were naked? Who told you you're ashamed? Who told you I'm not enough? Who told you that?" And we need to, like the prodigal son, begin the process of coming back home to the Father, not looking out in the world for our sense of worth, not looking to people, places, and things as our source, but to God. And in that, we can enjoy the Father. You know, the older brother was right there in the Father's house, but yet he wasn't enjoying the Father. The younger son in the story, the prodigal son, went away to a far and distant land. He wasn't enjoying the Father. It was in that humility of coming back. Father, you're all I need. You are my everything. You're my all in all. That's when we are healed. We are invited to welcome the kingdom of heaven into this kingdom of earth. Jesus said to pray for his kingdom to come on earth as it is in heaven. You have a whole kingdom on the inside of you. Jesus said, the kingdom of God is with you and will be in you. The kingdom of God is in you. You have a whole kingdom. It's surprising we can even fit through the door. We've got this whole kingdom on the inside of us. And yet so often we feel lost, afraid, striving for approval. And we have our flesh on top of our spirit instead of our spirit on top of our flesh. Jesus crushed Satan's head, but yet sometimes we get it backwards and we are being controlled by the serpent instead of the spirit. So why do we still struggle? I want to share with you the stories of my mother wound and my father wound and things the Lord taught me. Now, I have seen healing in woman after woman, person after person, whether it be in my ministry or in the therapy room, but I don't want to share their stories with you. I would rather share my story with you, but suffice it to say, if God has healed me and continues to heal me, he will heal you. The Lord is full of loving kindness, full of goodness, and Jesus paid for your healing. And day in and day out, I see people healed. This healing is for you. So when I was growing up, my mother and my father had both grown up in houses with a lot of domestic violence. Both their dads beat up people in the house. My dad's dad beat up his wife a lot. She was an alcoholic. My mom's dad beat up her brother a lot. And so they grew up in alcoholism, both of them. They grew up in a lot of intimate partner violence going on in the house, a lot of disloyalty, a lot of cheating, a lot of darkness. They married. That was a quick, flighty, shifty story as well. We're not sure who my father was. That's a whole story. But anyway, then they didn't know any better. They really didn't. They were both so hurting. And my mom was likely borderline and definitely alcoholic. My father became an addict as well. My mother and father were both very violent with me and my brother and with each other. We had a lot of violent fights. And then once they got divorced, everything got worse because they both really gave into their addictions. They just didn't know any better. And I remember many times my mom told me she hated me. She would kick me out of the house in drunken rages. I was very afraid of my dad. He would either be very distant or enmeshed with me. And I went through a lot of emotional incest and some other things with him. So by the time that I became a Christian, I had already been homeless because neither one of my parents wanted me during my senior year. I had been hit. I had hit back. I had spent a lot of time getting high with my father, also trying to avoid him because he scared me so much. I've heard things children just should never hear. My life had been threatened by family members. So it was pretty significant what I went through. a lot of hatred, a lot of scapegoating. And I used a lot of substances and had eating disorders to cope with it. I mean, I was not the poster child, and I was not innocent by any means. I was not the poster child, abused victim child. I fought back. And so with my mother, I feel like I never knew her. I never really knew her. And I think that she hated herself and she put that on me. And she did apologize to me before she passed away several years ago. And it was so precious. The Lord allowed a reconciliation with both my mom and my dad before they passed away. My dad actually died by a self-inflicted gunshot wound. My mom died of cancer. But because of all this, I developed anxious attachment. In fact, I probably developed disorganized attachment. We're going to be talking about attachment in a future podcast. But suffice it to say that I tended to in relationships pursue when someone's drawing away. I can be the pursuer. And I, in relationships with men, was quite comfortable with very unavailable men, very shut down men, men who would end up betraying me. And so I was very uncomfortable with available men because of the enmeshment with my father. What's interesting is I didn't think that relationship impacted me. And it wasn't until I started dating my husband, Tim, that I realized his availability actually gave me panic attacks. And so I had to work through that. Because he was available. And I had been uncomfortable with these unavailable men who kept leaving me. I want to talk to you about the wound from my mother, because that was the wound that I knew had impacted me. And as I became a Christian, it felt like an open wound that I felt all the time, and that it ached. It was hard to even make it through the days. I just felt so full of self-rejection, self-hatred, self-loathing. And I had never known what it felt like, at least from my perspective, to really be loved by a mother. I would see mothers at the mall walking with their daughters, and I would just cry. Once I finally stopped using drugs and alcohol and stopped all my coping behaviors and became a Christian, I was like a raw nerve. And I really felt that this wound was incurable. There's a scripture in Jeremiah that says, "My wound is incurable." That's how I felt. Now, that same scripture in Jeremiah talks about, "But you, O Lord, heal my wound." I felt like my wound was incurable. And I've seen so many people that just have this heartache and they feel that it's not curable. And I was so afraid of what was on the inside of me. And it wasn't until I faced it and let myself grieve some of these losses and let Jesus spend time with the child parts of me, asking Jesus into all those places. Because see, I thought maybe I should take all my thoughts captive and not think about it. That didn't work. That just kept that cycle of fear and panic and insecurity going in my life. So I'm wondering, beloved, do you feel that your wound is incurable? Maybe you haven't thought about how your past is impacting your current life. And maybe as I share my story, you're thinking, well, maybe my childhood is impacting how I live now. Maybe that my parents didn't tell me they love me impacts me today. Maybe that I couldn't share any negative emotions with my family impacted me. Oh, beloved, it did. And today, it may be impacting you through this term we're calling, this phenomenon we're calling codependency, where you are chasing love and approval above and beyond submitting to the Lord. And it is causing cycle of pain after cycle of pain after cycle of pain. Let's talk about the false guilt loop of codependency. So it starts out where we have a sense of false guilt, like we have to say yes, we have to make sure people know we're good, we're okay, we have to people please, okay? So it starts out with this sense of false guilt. Then we say yes when we mean no, or no when we mean yes. But it causes us to say yes to things that we don't really have peace about. But we want to please the people, get the approval. We want to make them happy. Then, because we were never supposed to do it in the first place, we start to get angry and resentful. We start to seethe internally. Maybe it's not even external. Maybe it's just internally we resent. We begin to think they're asking too much of us. We get mad. Now, here at this point, when we're resentful, it can go one of two ways. Some of us begin to distance ourselves more and more. We have more avoidant personality. We begin to distance ourselves little by little by little. That's called stonewalling from the person. Others of us kind of blow up. We get mad and blow up. Well, what does that do? That causes false guilt, more false guilt. We feel guilty again. And that brings us into, again, to saying yes when we mean no, and then into resentment, and then again into blowing up. Now, for those of us that get a little bit more distant, a little bit more distant, a little bit more distant, but never share, this is not okay. I need to stop this pattern. Ultimately, we might even leave that relationship without ever talking to the person about what the problems are. If you are more avoidant, you tend to think the problem is the other person and you need to get away from them to heal. If you are the kind that blows up, you tend to be stuck in a lot of shame and guilt and keep thinking I'm the problem. And you tend to surround yourself with people who also scapegoat you. Now, these aren't perfect illustrations, but I want you to know that God sets the captives free. In fact, I get to spend, after this childhood I shared just a bit of with you, I get to spend every day of my life helping people heal, whether it's as a psychologist and using the science to help people heal and incorporating faith upon request, or as a minister, healing the biblical domain of the heart using encounters with Jesus. It's what I get to do every day because Jesus has brought so much healing to my soul and he continues to bring healing to me. Stephen Karpman developed what's called the drama triangle. I like to call it the triangle of pain. And we can see this triangle of pain also in the Garden of Eden, I believe. There is the victim, poor me. The victim is also the martyr. The victim is, this is not going to be better until you help me. The rescuer, the caretaker, I'll fix you. Let me fix it. The fixer. And then the persecutor or the blamer. This is your fault. When someone is on the triangle of pain, for example, they persecute us, we're tempted to get on the triangle of pain in one of the other slots. So let's say that someone says this at work, this is wrong, you didn't do this right, this is all your fault. Well, you might get on the triangle of pain to fix it, to worry, 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 how can I fix it? You might go over to persecutor, get mad at them in your head, and then back to feeling like a victim and a martyr. But you see, rather than just owning our lives and taking action, we get into these dysfunctional patterns where we allow ourselves to be the victim, to be the fixer, or the persecutor, rather than staying in the place of peace where we can co-create with God, we can cheerlead each other people or coach them, but we are never in charge of carrying their daily load. They are in charge of carrying their daily load. And all the roles that we get into in dysfunctional families, hero, scapegoat, lonely, lost child, mascot, where we have these rules of don't talk, don't feel, don't trust. If you grew up in a family like where there's a lot of those rigid roles, the triangle of pain is the bread and butter of your family. Let me ask you, do you look around hyper-vigilantly with your most beloved people, maybe roommate, best friend, spouse, et cetera, boyfriend, girlfriend, et cetera, and you are hyper-vigilantly watching to fix anything that could go wrong because in your mind, there's this felt sense of chaos inside and a felt sense of I'm bad and a felt sense of something's about to go wrong and I have to fix it so that I can be safe. You see, we're starting from a place of not being safe because we're not drinking from the vine of safety, of abiding, of love. So we need to step off this stage. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Jesus never entered the triangle. He only did what he saw the Father doing. And that's all we need to do day in, day out. Father, what are you doing today? Not our to-do list. Yes, it's okay to make a to-do list. I do too. But God, I want to stay in peace. What are you doing today? Worry and hurry get us out of our peace. So we want to live surrendered, a surrendered and an abiding life and do only what the Father is doing. Jesus in John 5:19 said, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can only do what he sees the Father doing. John 15:5, I am the vine, you are the branches. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Codependency reacts, abiding listens, stays in peace, and does with the Father what the Father is doing. Surrender sounds like, Father, what are you doing in this conversation, this decision, this moment, this relationship? We are to guard our hearts and our minds. We are to surrender and trust and stay in peace, presence, and power. How does the scripture says love always trusts in 1 Corinthians 13. How do we always trust when people are not always trustworthy? We can always trust him and that he's working in the situation. The science of surrender is quite powerful. Our amygdala, when we cling and control, our amygdala fires, cortisol and adrenaline surge. We go into fight, flight, freeze, or fawn, and the nervous system is activating us to rescue and people please. Fawning means people pleasing, and it's the mind of the flesh. It's a survival strategy from our flesh, and yet the Lord wants us to have the mind of the Spirit. So surrender rewires your brain. Control inflames it. Surrender rewires your brain, and control inflames it. So we can renew our mind. We can use breath prayers such as, I surrender to Jesus. He is my all in all. Breathing in, I surrender to Jesus. He is my all in all. I want you to think about a trigger you've had recently when you felt like you overreacted, you were worried, you were triggered, you acted like you were 7 years old or felt like you were 7 years old, probably because it triggered a young part of you. What triggered you? What did you feel in your body? What story did you tell yourself? How did you behave? Did you get defensive? Did you criticize or blame? Did you stonewall and move away and shut that person out? Let's move into an encounter today. And by the way, I have a free resource for you where I've given you steps of this encounter. You can go to drbarbaraministries.org/self-parent. It's /self-parent. It's a free resource, Encounter with Jesus, Heart Journey Self-Parenting Tool. All right, so I want you to go back to where that sting was, where you were triggered. Go back into that trigger. Bring up a moment where you felt defensive or rejected, and I want you to feel it for a minute. This is helping us open what we call the memory reconsolidation window. So open up, remember that sting that happened just this past week, that trigger. And I want you to think about what you feel in your body. What do you feel in your body as you think about that trigger? If it were a color or texture in your body, what would that be? And now, thinking about what you feel in your emotions and what you feel in your body, I want you to scroll back. Jesus, when did I first feel this feeling? Scroll back and let your heart drift back to where you felt this same way in your body, in your emotions, in a childhood scene. The same ache, the same unmet need, the same panic. Scroll back and find that place. Now, what did you feel back in that place? I want you to name it. Back in that memory where some very important need was not met. Now, what lie took root in that place, beloved? What lie took place in that scene? What did the enemy whisper? Did he whisper, "You're not safe," or "I'm not lovable," or "I'm too much," "I'm not enough," "No one will really ever know me," "I'm not safe," "I can't trust"? Now invite Jesus into that scene, that memory. Jesus, we welcome you in. Notice his eyes of love, his eyes of safety and tenderness as he steps between you and the chaos, between you and the pain. And he says to you, "You're mine." Now, in that memory, we're going to let Jesus meet your need. I wonder if you could let Jesus bring the safety, the attunement, the rescuing, the need that you have in that memory. What does he want to give you? He wants to re-script this memory so that you actually have your needs met. Just receiving from him, soaking in him, allowing him to meet your needs. Now, what lie do you need to unburden from in this place? Imagining drinking from the vine and the vine healing where the serpent bit you, healing deep within, pouring his love into your body, into your heart, into your mind, giving you beauty for ashes, rest for striving, adoption where there's been rejection. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted. Allow his closeness in to be a seal of healing in this place. He says, "You are mine. You are safe. You are free. And you are under the shadow of my wings." Beloved, just a few scriptures that you can take with you this week. Matthew 5:8, the pure in heart see God. You can see him. Just seek him with a pure heart. John 15:4-5, abide in me. Remember Philippians 4:6-7. He gives you a peace that guards your heart. Romans 8:15, he's given you the spirit of adoption in the place of fear and rejection. Isaiah 30:15, in his quietness and trust is your strength. And Galatians 5:1, stand firm in this freedom he has given you. Let these words re-script your nervous system until peace becomes your default. All right, I'm going to give you a few journal prompts or writing prompts that you can use for some morning attunement or evening if the evening is better for you. Ask the Father, Father, what, this is the morning attunement, morning alignment, Father, what are you doing today? Ask him so that you can co-create with him, surrender to him. I want you to engage in micro surrenders throughout the day. Each time control rises, exhale, Jesus, I trust you. And we can journal on these points. Pause practice. When defensive, breathe 2 cycles before speaking. And you can do your breath prayer. Jesus, I surrender. You are my all. A boundary sentence. I'm not able to do that, but here's what I'm able to do. So I want you to journal. What triggered me today? Where did it begin? What truth can you speak there? Journal on what, Father, what are you wanting me to do today? And journal on your micro surrenders, your pause practice, and boundaries you need to set. Let's close in prayer. But I want you to know I have a free resource for you, drbarbaraministries.org/self-parent. And it actually will take you through the Heart Journey self-parenting tool that you can use. And you can go through finding the memory that's underneath your pain and allowing him to minister to you there. Lord, I pray for these sweet, beloved ones. Bless them. Bring healing from codependency, freedom, and Christ dependency. God, help us to surrender all and not look to the flesh, but to your spirit to get free from codependence and idolatry. Beloved, we're going to continue on this series. So I will see you next week where we're talking about codependence to Christ dependence. In addition, we're going to be offering some podcasts where I'm going to be talking to guests about how the Lord is healing their hearts. And so you'll also have the opportunity to meet some of my friends coming up soon for some additional podcasts where we explore what God is doing in people's hearts. So I'm looking forward to all that. I will be with you in all those spaces. Make sure you're following the Heart Journey podcast and me, Dr. Barbara Jean Lowe Sauve or Dr. Barbara Lowe on TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube. I will see you in all the usual places. You are loved, and I'm so honored to be with you today. Thank you for listening.